Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to look to God's Word, obviously, this morning. Not that I'm letting you in on something new, so I don't want you to think, oh, there's this secret and, you know, we haven't found it in Scripture and pastors kept it from us. It's not that. But I want us to begin to go down this avenue of not out of greediness, but when you come into faith in Christ, you want to live a life that is honorable to Him, but you want to live a life of what we would call blessing. A life of blessing. And that may sound pie in the sky. It may sound unrealistic to you. You may be skeptical about it. Some of you who are maybe a little dogmatic, you may feel like, uh-oh, this is one of those, if you name it, then you can claim it, and then it's supposed to automatically happen. And I just put the brakes on for a second, slow down. But I do want to bring to our remembrance that we do want to live a life of blessing. A life that God blesses, but also a life that is blessing to others. And I want you to know that those two are joined together. There's no separation between those two. If ours is a life that God is blessing, that blessing is not meant to just go in some storehouse or to go in some blessing trophy room of our life. It is supposed to kind of move through us and be a blessing in some manner, some way, to other people, to strangers, to people we know, people who are mean to us, people who don't treat us fairly by our mindset. It's also to those who honor us or love us, or those who are church family or our own biological family. It's meant to be a blessing to people around us. And for that to happen, obviously we know we want God's blessing to flow into our life. Now, I don't want you to confuse something, and many of you would know this, but I need to mention this because I don't know everybody's church background. I don't know your spiritual walk background. I don't know any of that, but the teaching of Scripture is that we are saved by God's kindness or grace through putting faith in Christ. So we understand that we do not do good things to get to heaven. But because of our faith in Christ, and we are saved by God's grace through this faith in Jesus, the Son of God, because of that faith, our life now changes that we do good things, not to earn heaven, but we do good things because we have faith in God and our life has changed, and we want to live a life that God can bless. Now, understand that there are blessings that come from God that have nothing to do with our goodness or our cooperation. It's God gave grace to us because He's good. We understand that now based on Scripture for salvation. But we have to also understand on Scripture that as we honor God because of our faith in Him, not works to get into heaven, but because we want to honor Him, we want a life to be blessed, we want God to bless our life. It's not out of a greed thing, it's out of a relationship thing with Him. We understand that blessing and obedience work hand in hand. There are things that I, for example, bless my children with, not because they deserve it. I just bless them because of my faith in Christ. I'm trying to be like my Father, how He has blessed me. He's been gracious to me. He has blessed me in ways that I do not deserve, like salvation. But then there are things that I bless my children with because I see them respond and their life is like it responds and I present blessing to them. And it's not just blessing that they've earned. You see, that's a wage. That's different. The wage is a blessing, yes, because you have the opportunity to earn it. We're not talking about wage. Wages, if you go outside and rake, I will give you. Oh, that's an agreement. I went and did this. It's a wage. I get paid. I'm talking about responding favorably, honoring your dad and your mom, for example, in our home. And because of their obedience or because of their responsiveness, because of their development, we bless them. And the blessing sometimes exceeds their obedience. But that's not the point. It's not a wage. It's about blessing. So in the spiritual element, in relationship with our Father, there are things that we can do. There's things that you can do to remain in a blessable state, not to hoard unto yourself, but to draw closer to Him, know that it's a life that's blessed and a life that has God's blessing of influence on it, that you bless other people, because that is the character of God. And of course, we worship Him, and the highest form of worship is now becoming like Him. And so I want you to know that there are things that you and I can do that move us along and stabilize us in a life of being blessed. Variety of things we can do, but I want to talk about one thing this morning. You see, it's about being a host. You know what a host does? If you've ever had a person that you've invited into your home, you have hosted them. And part of hosting them is how you, hosting them is how you treat them, how you receive them, how you care for them, how you bless them. I want you to know that hosting people, receiving people, is one of the keys to being a person who is in a state of being blessed by the Lord. I want you to understand that. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at several scriptures this morning. Some I'll just refer to and some we're going to read. You want a blessed life. You want God to bless you. I want you to know that's not out of a greed thing. That's just out of a response to God. Do you understand that God put that desire within you? That you would want to be blessed by Him? Understand that. That's a God desire thing He's put in you. Now, we have to struggle through our humanity with it. Sometimes it's out of a selfish thing. We can corrupt that. But the basis of that is good. Now, I want Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read a powerful passage. This is so practical and so instructive. This is like a year's worth of sermons. I will just tell you this. If you could master this passage in your life, in character and virtue, oh my, then you have attained something. Chapter 12, verse 9. I'm going to read it real slow, and then I'm going to come back to a kind of a little phrase and key that I want to pull out of there for this morning. Verse 9, it says this, Romans chapter 12, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal or passion. Passion attached to purpose. Not just emotionalism, but emotion, passion, zeal attached to a purpose. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, you can't please everybody. Don't take that out of context. The point is, what is good for the common purpose or the common group of God's people? It's if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, the motivation here is not to say, "Ha ha, I'm going to burn you by being nice to you when you've been mean to me." That's not the motivation. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to go back to two words. It's the last two words of verse 13, and it says this. Practice hospitality. It's the whole sentence, two words. Practice hospitality. Being a host. I want you to look Matthew chapter 10. And I'm going to mention these verses. If you don't want to turn there, you can write them down. You can go to the podcast. You can order a CD, whatever. And you can pause and play at your will. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, it says this. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Just giving us three examples right there. And I want you to know that the intent of the scripture here, the intent of God's Spirit, is not to limit it to these three classifications. It's just that there could be endless scenarios of different types of people that you receive by office, by gifting, by state of life. Age, all kinds of scenarios. Just gives us three. If you receive a prophet and you welcome this prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. It sounds really good, and we wonder, well, what's the prophet's reward? I want you to know that part of that package of the reward is, you know, the reward for a prophet is that they receive revelation from God, words from God, and they deliver these words, and God empowers them, and empowers them not only to speak, but empowers them to do things that are miraculous, they're supernatural, they're spiritual, they're beyond human resource. And there's a fulfillment of God's, when you sense God's anointing that way, there is a fulfillment that comes to your soul, a satisfaction. And there's always another purpose. I'll tell you this. Here's a little side note. You receive one of God's, what we may call servant. We're all servants of God. I understand that. But you receive one of God's called to some type of ministry, and you receive them, well, I want you to know something. I'm just going to tell you that God is going to bless your life. I'm just telling you, He will bless your life. Our motivation can corrupt that, but I want you to know, if you genuinely do that, Because in verse 40 it says, the one who I send to you, if you receive him, right? Look at verse 40. He's the one that I sent to you, he says. Look at verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who I sent. And it's this whole blessing in this relationship and how God responds favorably. When we receive people. Now, if you are looking for purpose in your life, here's the little key. If you're looking for purpose in your life, I mean, you want to receive all people. But if you receive people who God has fulfilled purpose and given them purpose in life and you receive them, you will receive the blessing of purpose. If you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Look at this next category after prophet. Look what it says here. A righteous man. What is one of the blessings of the righteous? You look in Psalms 37, verse 25 and 26. The psalmist writes this. I've been around for a long time. I am an old man. And as long as I have lived, I have never seen the righteous forsaken by God or their children ever go hungry. That's the righteous man's reward. That's one of the rewards. If you receive a righteous person instead of mocking them or shunning them or making fun of them or making fun of what you don't understand, if you genuinely receive them, you'll receive the righteous man's reward. And one of the rewards is God will not forsake you and your children will never go begging for bread or food. This is how it works. The next is, if you see somebody, one of these little ones, children, they need something, or one of these little ones in faith, a baby in faith, or a child in faith, or a physical child, someone who's thirsty, they need a cup of water. If you are my disciple and you give them a cup of water, you will not lose your reward as a disciple. How many of you are old enough to remember W.C. Fields? The rest of you, you got to Google them. Because those who raise their hand, they don't know what Google them means. You remember W.C. Fields? Get away from me, kid. You bother me. Remember that? You guys are going, what? The young ones are going, oh, is that a, where is that? And they're looking in the Bible dictionary for W.C. Fields. Get away from me, kid. You bother me. How do you respond to children? How do you respond to children when no one's watching? How do you receive them? What about young ones in faith? They're an adult, but they're a little one in faith because it's new. They're a babe in Christ. And in your mind, they ask a question that you think, what in the world are they thinking? Don't they get this? Or they do something that expresses some immaturity in their faith or in their walk with the Lord. Or they do something that, oh, that's contrary to Scripture. That's a poor decision. That's a sin. That's immoral. Oh, and we shun them. That's when they need a cold drink. That's when they need an arm around them. And yeah, they need instruction. But it sure comes better from somebody who loves them than somebody who smashes them or shuns them. After all, where would you and I be if the Lord didn't convict us with instruction and with love? See, the disciples' reward, think about this. What did the disciples do? They just spent time with Jesus, and they were under his instruction, his tutelage, his personal touch. All of this was blessing and reward in their life. You want the closeness of Jesus? Give a cup of water to somebody. And a cup of water doesn't mean just a physical cup of water. And next Sunday, you'd all be running around with a glass of water, trying to pawn it off on someone. No. It's about caring for someone who's thirsty or they're in need. They need encouragement. And when we do that, you move yourself into a blessable state because you will receive the reward of a disciple. Genesis 12, verse 3, God says something to Abraham very interesting. He says, Abraham, those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. Sounds like there's two lists. Based upon how I receive and treat people that God sends. Right? Who is God sending into your life? Opportunity that we bump into. We can't just look at it as we're the ones sent, but they were sent to us. They were sent to us. Third John, verse 5 through 8. Look at this. Third John, verse 5 through verse 8. And I know I'm going quickly and not allowing you time to turn there to all these, but I want to move along. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name, Jesus, that we went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such men or people so that we may work together for the truth. Part of this is about sending people out who are called to do something, whether they're missionaries or whatever it is. I want to share something with you as a church. Because we talked about some personal things, how we become a person who remains in a state of blessing and expressing our faith. But we also do that as a corporate body, as a church. I want to tell you something. You want God's presence and blessing on this church? I'm going to tell you one of the ways that you can assure that upon this church body. And it has to do with this. How you receive guest ministers in ministries that come into this place. And how you send them off. I want you to know that. Because that's what that scripture is talking about. It's how you receive and send them off. How you bless them. How you provide for them. How you take care of them. Let me put it to you this way. If God sends someone to us, we are supposed to receive them as if we are receiving the Lord. Let me ask you this. If we were to take a love offering this morning for, let's just do this, for the Apostle Paul, if he were physically here and he came in to minister the word, this man who you've read his letters, you've known things about his life and you admire him. Not, he's not a perfect man, we can see flaws, but you admire his ministry and how he was converted and how he has, you know, picked up the plow for the kingdom and plowed ahead, and he came into this place to preach and teach and pray for people. What kind of love offering would you be willing to give him? Let's go a step further. What if Jesus came into this room and ministered the word, and we were going to take up a love offering for him, an honorarium, a blessing? What would you be willing to give him? I mean, this is an offering for Jesus. Or this is an offering for the Apostle Paul. Well, what about the missionary or the evangelist or the ministering guest that comes into this place? Now listen, I am not preaching this because you have not been generous. No. You're generous people. But we are here to live in a blessable state and be productive and influential. We want God's blessing. Then you know what? It's not about, well, they were kind of young. Well, they didn't have as much experience. Oh, they didn't dress quite right. No. This is an offering unto God to send them off and to care for them while they were with us. That has nothing to do with their performance. It has everything to do with the quality of Christian in person and church we are going to be to exemplify the Lord and to honor Him. Well, he didn't preach real well. I just put $2 in. Gee, I'm so glad you got me on salary. I'm assured a certain amount if I preach bad or not. Thank you. You see? You receive them as if it is the Lord, and you send them and bless them and care for them to the best that we can. Why? Because we're doing it unto the Lord. And if you and I get cheap or become misers, you want to talk about God lifting his hand of blessing off a church? Whew. Bam, like now! Stewardship is first about managing generosity. You know, Abraham helped Sarah in the Old Testament make a meal for visiting angels. Now, as you know, Old Testament, that's kind of Sarah's job. But Abraham helped. What about the Shunammite woman for the prophet? Do you know what she did? She built a whole addition onto their house. So when the prophet was passing through, he had a place to stay that was nice. She received a blessing. Trust me, you read the story. What about Rahab? You might have mixed emotions about her. Mixed thought about her. She was a harlot, lady of the night, but she housed the spies. And God saw it somehow fitting that he would move Rahab into the lineage of Jesus. That kind of stuff just blows my mind. You look at the New Testament. Look at Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Look at whole household salvation came because they received him. Even Simon the leper received Jesus into his house. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. You look everywhere you want. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start with verse 37. Look at this. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Do you understand that the people who we are sent to or sent into our life, we don't see them as God. And by this scripture, he says, hey, that person who was in need that you ran into, That you are supposed to receive them like you were receiving me. Lord, when did we see you in need of clothes? When did we see you sick? When did we see you in need? When did we see you come into our house? When did we see you come to our table? In every person. The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we'll just start from verse 48. Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. How do you treat children? Well, I'm not real patient, you know, and I like my space, and little kids don't know how to behave. And if that's your attitude, I got to tell you something. You don't know how to behave. It's not that children don't know how to behave around you. You don't know how to behave around children. Wake up, man. Open your eyes. I got to tell you something. There are some moments that I miss when my kids were small. I loved getting on the floor with them and letting them crawl all over me and wrestle around and roll around with them. I miss it. Because I used to enjoy that, and they'd enjoy it, and I'd tickle them and do all that kind of stuff. But I got to tell you, there's another part that I enjoyed it. It gave me a reason to get down on the floor and be a kid myself. I still like to do it. Except that doesn't go over well. With my son, it does. But one of us usually ends up flying over the back of the couch. It wouldn't be me. Brock, I love those moments that you hang the Nerf hoop on the accordion doors in the front hall. I know that there's a chance of breaking a light and all that kind of stuff. But then we go one-on-one in that narrow little spot behind the couch and the door. Dude, I love that. For about 5 minutes, because then I'm... because the old man's worn out. So we play one-on-one. But it's football basketball. It is. It's football basketball. I mean, there's goaltending, there's shoving, there's slamming. And I love it because I'm big. We get out in the driveway and space things out a little. Not so good. Love that stuff. What about these children walking and running up and down these hallways of this church? Do you ever take time to talk to one of them? Say hi to one of them? Slap five with one of them? Because we follow the scripture. And not to take it out of context, they are not Jesus, but they are Jesus. With all their mistakes and all their undeveloped manners and stuff on their lip came from their nose, and it's all that stuff. How you receive them and treat them. You want this church to be blessed by God? I'm giving you, God has given us keys to walk in a blessable state. What about when you're in need? What about when you act outside protocol? How do you want people to treat you? How do you want to be treated when you do something stupid? You're not stupid. I'm not stupid. But I've done some stupid things. What about when you're in need? you like this idea? If you went in to sit down somewhere and Jesus came up to take your order and wait on you, you would want role reversal really quick. Oh, no, Jesus, you sit down. I want to wait on you. Well, I want you to know that Jesus is waiting on you all the time at these restaurants. In the form of a waitress or waiter. Don't we see it? Don't we notice him? Don't we want to honor him? Look at Mark chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 41. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. I want to be blessed by the Lord. I don't want him angry at me. God is by nature one who wants to bless. Well, I want to put myself in a blessable state. And it's not trying to edge somebody else out. I got to do better than them so I get more blessed. No. God has resources that are not limited. It's not like there's one pie and you got to get the biggest piece you can because it's limited. No. And all of this is so that others can be blessed. Others can know him. Others get to see Jesus with skin on in your life. I was in the office yesterday morning. And I was leaving, it was in early afternoon or something, Sue, I forget. Called her, I was on my way, and I was coming down the drive, and there was a car parked here in our driveway, in the driveway of the church, pulled over. I pulled up next to it. I told Sue what was going on. I said, I'll call you back. It was a woman in a car. It was a nice car. She was nicely dressed. I put my window down as to, you pulled in here, are you looking for somebody? Can I help you? She was on the phone, wasn't talking, hung up, did not want to acknowledge me. I knew she was scared. I knew something was wrong. I didn't want to frighten her, so I just left my window down. She eventually looked and put her window down a little bit, and I said, my name is Randy Williamson. I'm the pastor of the church here. Is there something you need, something that we can be doing for you? And she just began to break down. She was scared. She lost her wallet. She stayed at the hotel here. She was on business from Chicago going back home to Sioux Falls. She was frightened. I tried to be as gentle as possible. She only put, like I said, the window down so far. She's on the road. She's scared. She lost something. She doesn't have the resource to get home now. Her wallet's gone. Cash is gone. Credit card, everything. It's gone. She can't get a hold of anybody at home. I just said, listen, we're going to get you home. You don't need to worry. You do not need to worry. I said, there's a Walmart on the other side of town. I said, are you comfortable following me there? I'm going to purchase one of those prepaid visas for you so that you can use it at any gas station. You can use it at any restaurant or fast food place that accepts visa. I said, are you comfortable following me there or do you want me to come back here and give it to you? I'm fine either way. She said, no, I want to wait here. I said, that's fine. I'll be back. Just give me a few moments. So I rerouted my schedule to go to Walmart, got a prepaid visa, brought it back, pulled into the church, and she's gone. I don't know if the hotel called her and said, we finally found your wallet. I don't know if it fell on the floor and she finally saw it. I don't know if she got a hold of somebody at home and they were going to meet. I don't know what happened. Hope she made it safe home. Hope she's not scared anymore. Hope all her belongings are protected. I'm not telling you that story to say, follow my example, pat me on the back. The point is this. I never got to deliver the $100 prepaid visa from this church. But we didn't lose the blessing because she didn't get it. Because we are responsible for our part. So I went shopping. No, I'm kidding you. I didn't do that. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding you. Still have it. It's going to go in our bookkeeping office. It's going to go to somebody in a similar situation. That's what's going to happen. Well, I didn't sit and stop and really think too much about, well, from here to go across southern Minnesota, and with the car she's got, she probably gets this many miles to the gallon. She probably only needs this much. And if she just has one little meal to get home, you know, we could probably do it on, you know, maybe $45. What? What? If that was my thinking, I'd want you as a congregation to line up right here one by one and come by and slap me. Practice hospitality. You want God's blessing in your life? You want God's blessing upon this church? Then treat people like it's Him. And especially those who are involved in full-time ministry, we have got to bless them. Send them off. Give them more. You know, on Wednesday nights, we periodically have missionaries on Wednesday nights come in. And we take an offering for them. And there's usually a smaller group of people here. And so, you know what, they can't just always continue to be the ones that give. They do. But we take and we bump up the offering out of our general fund to give to them. There's even been times, this is so fun when this happens. And maybe it's happened on a Sunday or two. I don't remember because I don't really keep track. But I know on Wednesday nights it's been, you know what? We're going to take an offering for them, and we're going to take $100 in addition or $100 out of what comes, and we're just going to bless them, and they don't turn it into missions. They're supposed to just take their wife out to eat or do something for their kid or whatever it is. You think God's up there going, oh, gee, you know, that's my money. I didn't really get, you know, it's not so they can go out to eat. It's not so their son could, you know, get a jacket. It's, you know, come on, this is, you know, this is a... Don't muzzle the ox. Bless. Practice hospitality. Be the host and the hostess. Wherever that platform is, in your home, at work, in the community, in the lobby of this, whatever it is, you're God's blessing on your life, God's blessing on this church, and you live like that. We don't have to do, oh, I got to go out now and be nice to a child and pet him on the head and say, oh, and they kick me in the shin and we go. And then we look at God and say, see what I did? Now you owe me. That's not how this is. This is how we live. We're only concerned about one side of the ledger. It's the side that we keep doing on and the side that we keep believing and the side we keep walking. As far as the blessing and all those things, that's God's side of the ledger, and He can do what He wants because He's God. All I know is His promise is, whoever I receive who's a prophet, I will have a prophet's reward. Whoever I receive unto myself, one of these little ones like it's him, and give them a cup of cold water and care for them, He is going to do the same. If I receive a righteous man, I will get a righteous man's reward. And my children won't be begging for bread. That has a lot to do with my cooperation with the Holy Spirit to instruct me, teach me, and form me into the image of God. And if I reject that part, then I want you to know something. I can throw all these scripture promises at God, but the problem is I have not placed myself in a blessable state, though I put personal faith in Him for salvation. I want God's blessing upon your life, your home, your family. I'm going to throw something else out to you. Oh my goodness, it's late. I got to practice hospitality and send you away in good time. I'm going to tell you something else. You want to pray and you want to agonize and you want to break through and you want to do this spiritual thing because it is spiritual and it's very real and I'm not mocking or making fun of it. We need, there's that time. We got to pray. We got to, and break through. We want to be effectual and fervent. But part of having an effective prayer life has to do with your hospitality and how you treat people. You would break through a lot quicker with some things if you would take and practice hospitality and bless people in your life. We sabotage our own prayers. Personal prayers, prayers of intercession, prayers on behalf of other people, because we're not treating Jesus right in other people. And it's hindering your prayers. It's hindering the length of and the time frame. It's hindering sometimes what we even ask because we are so full of ourselves. We need to get on His page. You want breakthrough? You want revival? You want spiritual outpouring? Yes, it comes by prayer and it comes by fasting and it comes by diligence and obedience. But you know what? It comes by being a person who pours out blessing on other people. What do you think the anointing's for? Why do you think Jesus came? To bless. To bless. To bless. You want God to forgive you of your sins as you forgive other people. You want God to bless you like you bless other people. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the second commandment is like unto the first. Love your neighbor. Parable of the Good Samaritan. Everybody's your neighbor. As yourself. Let's stand, please, all over this room. Love must be sincere. Cling to that which is good. Shun that which is evil. Practice hospitality. I got to tell you something. It's not always the amount of the blessing. It's just that we're blessing. It's about the heart attitude and the expression of the heart attitude. I've had smaller gifts mean more because the attitude of the person who gave it. I've had also others who gave larger gifts, and I've discovered something, that sometimes there were strings attached that I didn't know about. That's not blessing. That's not a blessing. When people bless me, I'm very grateful. But I am reminded most that God cares for me. He notices me. He hears my prayers. And He answers. I want other people to feel that and know that about God as I bless them. I want them to notice Him. Not put my name on a plaque. Not put me on the donors list. I just want them to recognize that God noticed them and cares about their need. In doing so, I'm blessed. Doesn't mean I don't face challenge. Doesn't mean that I don't face impossibility. I'm only called to do what's possible because He is able to do the impossible. And when we begin to do the possible unto God, it's like it begins to pave the way for His answer and to do what's impossible and make it possible in our life and in other people's lives. As we take that step in expression, it's just like behind it comes this big supernatural fulfillment. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Bear. It's an old movie. It's not like well done or anything. It's kind of an anti-hunter movie. Not kind of, it is. And I'm not endorsing or telling you to go out and get the movie, but in this movie there's a small bear. And he finally faces up against this mountain lion and cougar. He's throws his claw and they're facing off. And all of a sudden this mountain lion and cougar just backs off. That would have no problem whooping this little bear. Well, I want you to know, as we take those kind of steps of practicing hospitality and blessing people, it runs the curse away. And let me tell you why. Because behind this little bear was this huge male grizzly. The little bear didn't know it. But the mountain lion saw passes to the huge grizzly behind it and said, "I'm out of here." And as we're the little bear taking steps of faith and practicing hospitality and doing these things that Scripture says, God is right behind us, ready to pour forth so much more than what we can do. But we open the door by that faith expression. By sacrifice, by giving, whatever it is. Practicing hospitality. That's just kind of an imagery that I see. So without sounding too corny, be good little bears. Take steps of faith. Oh, the need is too great. My little bit doesn't matter. You might only be bringing a little bit to the table. But we can only do what we can do in our measure of faith and resource and whatever it is. But it begins to break a hole that God follows up and he just brings a huge breach through the barrier and blesses. Because we just did what we were responsible for. And the need was met. And the person was saved. And the person was blessed. And you know what? We don't lose any reward.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.